Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
How can the Church enter a digital culture and transform it with the gospel? What are some of the challenges facing Christians when they use the internet? Are the wonders of technology hurting people's ability to interact with each other and weakening their critical thinking skills? Pope Francis on Saturday spoke about the opportunities and challenges of proclaiming Christ in the digital age. One of the people at the meeting was a consultant for the Pontifical Council for the Laity, law professor at George Mason University, Dr. Helen Alvarez. At the end of the council's plenary assembly, she spoke with Tracy McClure.
One of our experts in the internet opened up his presentation with a story of the impact that a priest had on a suffering woman. That she was screaming, she couldn't stand the pain. The priest came in to pray with her at her death, crying out loud alongside her for God to intervene, at which point she starts crying out to God, "Help me offer up the pain to you. Let me do that. I offer it all to you." And he was pointing out how that human interaction was indispensable and how we need to understand, not simply to become infatuated with this new thing, much bigger than a toy, but also a great toy. We talked about how it was, and we gave examples. I certainly had some from my experience in the United States, as did others, to use the internet as a way of drawing people closer. And it isn't just that we keep up friendships on the internet. We really do. There's real relationships of family and love that come through on the internet, but also how it can be a means to in-person relationships. The wonderful person from Caritas International, Dr. Michelle Roy, talked about the difficulty of translating, you know, monetary donations over the internet to personal interaction, but how it was absolutely imperative that we do so.
When I look at my kids, I see, wow, they're learning things much more quickly than I am on the internet, how it works, the social networks and so on that you can create or that you can communicate through. That also poses challenges. I mean, here you met with the Pope today. He's an older man. He didn't grow up with the internet either. But he does see the potential there that it can offer.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I ended up pointing out to many of the priests and bishops at this meeting was that even though we mark this supposed bright line between what they call digital natives and digital immigrants, I wanted to point out that for parents, we're something in between. Because, of course, we weren't actually born with this, you know, 40 and 50 years ago. But our teenagers embroil us in it on a very regular basis, not only showing us how to do things, but they say they want to show us something that they've done. So my youngest son, who's an artist, wants to show me how he displays his art on his Instagram account and who likes it and how he then interacts with them and says, "Oh, let me see your account." And they look at each other's art and they tell each other where to buy art supplies and they introduce each other to new artists and so forth. So we are somewhere in between that. We're not ignorant of it. We've had to become facile in it with our work. I've started and run two internet networking pages, both one for really a good cause, one as an activist in the United States. So it does pose problems, but I think the problems are not in our learning to use it, but in our helping to figure out how to keep our kids away from the really bad stuff. And you know, I think Pope Francis mentioned it, and so did we in our conference, that we don't want to be naive about how much bad stuff gets transacted on the internet. Keeping our kids away from it is a major challenge.
But how do you go about that without saying, no, you can't do this, no, you can't do that, and then you become sort of like the bad ogre?
Yes. We have a rule which is you use your internet in the kitchen in the middle of the house. You don't go off to your room with it. Hmm. And that persists right through the teenage years. So you can't do anything you'd be that ashamed of in front of your mother. I still think that's a trait of human beings. That doesn't mean that that rule will not be broken behind my back or that they won't be at someone else's house. And really, to me, the only thing I can do there is have these, you know, prophylactic conversations and say, this is what you see in the world. You're going to see it on the internet. This is the message they're giving you about women. But here's what we say, and here's what we hold, and here's what's true, and here's what I know as your mother, and here's what your sister knows, or here's what your brother knows. And that's really all I can do is set up a moral framework for them to judge what is inevitably going to flow in, if not in my house, elsewhere, and if not now, then later.
One of the things that I find scary about the internet, looking at the future generations, is that it is slowly eroding our sense of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything now, you can share everything. Your photographs, your life, your stories, where you've went on vacation, where you're going next week.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of privacy has really dwindled away to nothing.
Absolutely. I think it will still vary from person to person. I've even observed among my three children how the ones who have a more contemplative spirit, who like to sit and read more quietly, reveal very little of themselves on the internet, whereas I have to continually try and stop my third child from revealing too much. Teachers, and I'm a professor in graduate school, we have to tell our students that there's much good that can be done on the internet, and oh my goodness, the research possibilities, the learning possibilities are insanely good. But if they reveal too much or inappropriate things about themselves, it actually, in this wide world, as sophisticated as we are, it will still prevent them from getting a good job.
Mm-hmm, of course. You know, you mentioned some of the meetings that you held there for your plenary assembly of the laity. Did anything surprise you about those meetings? What came out? You met with all sorts of communications experts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only one thing sticks out, and maybe more will later, which is that some people see the internet mostly as a dark forest with ghosts and goblins. And some people are angry at that view and see it as a place of opportunity where all these other dangers can be managed. I think they're both right. in a demonstration of the Catholic and, I think they're both right. I don't think for what the church is seeking to do on the internet, we have to worry about some of the dangers that were put forward. I mean, you know, set aside completely the question of inappropriate or pornographic content, which is huge. But even questions regarding people beginning to lack depth or the ability to read or write, the inability to think through a problem, the question of people getting on the internet and losing themselves in ambiguous being able to become whoever you want on the internet, starting up relationships that are dangerous. These are not our dangers. If anything, our dangers would be a tendency to try and reduce rich material to a soundbite. They would be, and then the other danger for us is that we remain at the high intellectual level at all times and fail to try and communicate with people who really need a more popular synthesis of our teaching.
That was Helen Alvarez, a consultor at the Pontifical Council for the Laity.
Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.